The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What's the worst hurricane that you lived through here? Because when I was growing up in Florence, South Carolina, a Category 5 hit called Hugo, and that was the worst until we saw what happened here in Houston.
Well, it kind of depends on where you are, because obviously, in my neighborhood, Harvey did no damage. I mean, we didn't even lose satellite. Ike, I was without power for 2 weeks. And that sucked. Growing up, Alicia was the worst because a whole bunch of tornadoes went through Lamarck and Texas City, where I was at the time, and did a ton of damage. Apparently, we don't care. The Rona's still out there, and we're going to let 60,000 people in one place. Why don't we just bring the fans back at this point? And I get that this one thing's more important than the other, but if it's okay to have several days of thousands of people in one small group, why are we even bothering stopping everything else at this point?
What you're saying makes a lot of sense, but the mayors and the people in these cities, they can't say that right now. They can't say, hey, we've got this pandemic, y'all out here in numbers of 60,000 on top of each other. They can't come out there and say,
here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jason Braddock with a Y, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And been a fun show up till the last segment, which got a little awkward, and there's people upset about something else Jerome said in a description, and let me just defend him a little bit. He was saying what the cops called the guy when they threw him in the water. Now, again, not a word I would use, but he was not saying the guy was this. He was using a description, much as he was with the other stuff. So in context, he didn't mean any. He didn't mean to call anyone that. He was talking about what the cops said specifically. So, so I'll defend him on that one. And honestly, he didn't know any difference about the other one. So let's not rip on our guy, Jerome. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, Jason Braddock been filling in well. Let's find something more fun.
All right, what you got?
Oh, we've got a bunch of stuff you wanted to get to, so let's get to some of your stuff here.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, here's one thing I want to talk with you about a little bit, because you talked about Fulton getting a new deal, and you're still wanting them to get Larry Warford. And you mentioned something on here. Go kind of break that down, what you're talking about, and then I've got something to add to it.
All right, so throughout the offseason, I felt like that Texans offensive line, they've done a great job. And we've bagged on Bill O'Brien for a ton of bad mistakes. But let's give him credit. But first, we got to give him blame. If we're telling the true story starting back in 2014, he completely broke down the offensive line and tore it apart, right? And then they haven't had any offensive line for the majority of the time since then. So he had to rebuild it. And as an organization, they did a really good job of doing most of that in 1 year. That being said, when you look at your bookend tackles of Laramie Tunsil and Titus Howard, you look at your guard Max Sharpen and Nick Martin, I feel like all of those are either good to great at what they do. The right guard, Zach Fulton, when I went and I watched film last year, he was the one that stuck out like a sore thumb to me. He was a guy that at that right guard spot looked out of position. He played it at a backups level, in my opinion. But when he played center, that looked like his best position. I feel like he's a better center than Nick Martin. So the Texans reworked Zach Fulton's deal, because the way it was set up, they could have cut him and saved $7 million without zero dead cap. Well, they've reworked the deal, and to some that signifies that they're done on the offensive line. Maybe they are. To me personally, I wouldn't be. The redoing of Zach Fulton's deal wouldn't take me out the market of Larry Warford to sign in free agency or even a trade for a Gabe Jackson, because I think both of those are upgrades at right guard. At that point, you get Zach Fulton to be a quality backup at left guard, right guard, and center. And then next year, the way Nick Martin's contract is set up in 2021, you could move on from Nick Martin, save $6.2 million, and slide Zach Fulton in the center and have your best quality offensive line, in my opinion.
Except there's one huge flaw in that thinking.
All right, go ahead. What is it?
Nick Martin is an O'Brien pet. He's not going anywhere. They didn't give him that contract so they could get out of it. Bill O'Brien loves Nick Martin.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely does.
So there's absolutely no way they're cutting the guy.
It makes sense, but
It might make sense from your perspective. But
No. I'm saying what you're saying makes sense, but you're also assuming that Bill O'Brien's here. In 2021.
He's not going anywhere. There's no way to get rid of this clown.
Let me throw some records at you. 8-8. Is he coming back?
Yes.
6-10.
If Watson gets hurt and they go 6-10, yeah.
All right, that's fair. If Watson gets hurt, 4-12.
Yeah, he's coming back if Watson's hurt. They're not going 4-12 if Watson's healthy. That's the problem. So if you're going to throw these records at me, it means Watson got hurt, mm-hmm. and he's coming back anyway.
All right, so I think Bill O'Brien last year will be within the next 2 years. And so within the next 2 years.
Where are you getting this from? Is this like wishful thinking?
He's been here 6 years.
Yeah, and he got more power. They've promoted him. Cal McNair has given him the entire organization.
At some point, but do you think he has a lifetime contract?
Sure seems like it.
It does seem like that, and I completely agree with you. But at some point, that last bit of sand trickles out the glass the way you can't blame, oh, injuries got us this year. Oh, I don't have a quarterback this year. Oh, the offensive line is trash. We're getting our quarterback killed. I just need another offseason to do this. No, I mean, the team is regressing as far as talent. Now, whether they go 9-7 or if they win 12 games again or go 6, talent-wise, this team is regressing with Bill O'Brien at the helm as head coach and general manager. And at some point, the results, the proof will be in the pudding, and you'll see it record-wise.
You've seen it, though. That's the problem. You're again.
We've seen it.
Well, but you're looking at this from the perspective of oh, if I'm the owner of this team, logically, this is what I would do. That's not happening. Cal McNair is not. I don't know if he's logical or not. I don't know if he's anything because we never hear from him except for we hear, we're going to be a flatter organization. Well, yeah. I can turn it all over to Bill. And I don't have to do anything.
So you don't think Cal McNair has heard like the entire national outrage that's come this year? Now, I think he's heard and he can't respond this year with it because you've made the bed, you got to lie in it. But I think if this doesn't go the way Bill O'Brien is presumably pushing to Cal McNair, oh, we got a chance to get better, get farther, get winning, get to the AFC championship finally. We're going to keep taking step fours. I just want a playoff game. All the BS O'Brien throws out there. The fact of it is his two playoff wins are against Connor Cook, who was a backup for the Roughnecks this past year, couldn't win the starting job there over PJ Walker, and Josh Allen, who was one of the only quarterbacks that can't complete 60% of the passes in today's NFL.
I don't know that, Jason.
No, I'm not saying.
I mean, seriously, you're acting like this is a logical thing. It's not logical. Nothing about this is logical. Nothing about trading DeAndre Hopkins for nothing and standing back and saying this is what's best for the capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M, and having the owner sit there, pat you on the back, and have your hand up his back like he's a puppet. That's what's going on here. You're acting like this is something reasonable. You're acting like they're actually going to say, hey, yeah, this guy needs to go. Hell no. It's not. He's so, there for life.
For life.
Deal with it. Yeah.
For life. No hyperbole involved in there. He's going.
Unless he accidentally gets Sorona from Deshaun Watson.
That's the only way. I say.
No, honestly, this guy could go 9-7 for 5 straight more years and he's not going anywhere. And I know, I mean, we all want it to happen. Mm-hmm. We all want it. I either want him to actually get to an AFC championship game or, you know what? Actually get fired. That's what I want. But wanting it and looking at it logically has nothing to do with this organization, because if it was logical, you wouldn't have a preacher running the team. You wouldn't have O'Brien with complete control over the front office. You wouldn't have any of this.
Why isn't this your next book? I mean, seriously, when you're going through it and everything, and we all know all the silliness to it, but it's a plot that you couldn't even make up for a book, and they're just gift wrapping it to you.
Oh, sure, you could. We've seen the whole thing before. It was called Chip Kelly in Philadelphia.
Fair enough.
It's the exact same story. It's been written before.
Or Josh McDaniels in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's the, it's been written. Sorry, it'd be a remake. It'd be like redoing Total Recall. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for a ride today. Who's gonna vibe with me? Who's gonna fly with me?
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 975. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
What the hell was that, Aaron?
Patrick Creighton! I have to be Patrick Creighton because I said, hey, Bill O'Brien's not going anywhere!
And we're back.
I can't even do that for about 10 seconds because I'll have no voice left.
Was my Fred Fowler okay, though? The rejoiner?
It's all right.
Okay. Okay.
832 says, easy, Fred. You sound like you're going to kill Jason. No. I love Jason. I just... the funny part is, I just don't buy in that Calvin McNair is ever going to do anything with the guy.
What if he were to yell at Janice McNair?
Who, Cal?
No, O'Brien.
No. That you know why? You know
I
why?
It was funny because I thought he was talking about Cal.
No, yeah. What if O'Brien?
Mom, yes. You won't let me play with my team, Mom. Cal, get your ass back in that room.
No. I want to go pet Bill O'Brien on the head because
Cal.
We have a flatter organization. Mom, can I drive the Bentley? Mom,
Cal, go get in your Ford 150. Right now, I already gave you the step side and the mud protectors.
Boy, he does look like a Ford 150 guy, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, you put a cowboy hat on him, I could see that.
Nice. Oh, Adam Schefter just now, Mark Berman and Aaron Wilson tweeted out pictures of Deshaun Watson in the march today here in Houston, and Adam Schefter just retweeted out that same photo as well. So, you have that.
Okay. Great.
But back to my question.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So, Brian being such a hothead, what if we set it up and get somebody to work it to where he gets so mad and then Janice McNair walks in and asks him a quick question and he just blows up on her? Would that get him fired?
No, because I don't think it will happen. I think Bill O'Brien is... you're right. He can't control his anger and his emotions. He can't control it. But I think he's so manipulative as a personality and the way he's absorbed all this power in the organization that he knows what to say and who he can say it to.
Well, let's just be 100% honest. The guy's a bully.
Yeah.
Bullies don't go after people bigger than them.
That's a fair
point. They pick on the weak. They pick on. Yeah. They do that. They chase off DeAndre Hopkins.
Do you remember who pushed him in the tunnel, Fred?
It was Hopkins.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's part of it, but I just thought it, you know, when it hit me the other day, I just thought it was pretty interesting that DeAndre Hopkins is having to give him a little shove to calm down the coach and GM. The player had to do this. That was such a distraction.
Yeah, the player who he had compared to Aaron Hernandez. Well done.
Wow.
But, yeah, O'Brien's a bully. I remember the special teams coach he got into it with on the sidelines, the fact that he's always doing stuff like that?
I heard he might have got into it with Tom Brady, right?
Rumor has it.
Rumor has it.
But he's not going to get into it with... Well, I mean, he's got his hand up Cal's back, apparently, but he's not going to get into it with Janice McNair.
No.
That would be dumb.
No, he's got all his foul. Him and Jack Easterby, what was the skit from SNL back in the day? The superheroes?
Don't remember.
I know what it is. Yeah, we could say it. The ambiguously gay duo.
Yeah, that was it. That was Cal and Bill O'Brien. I mean, Jack Easterby, excuse me. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. I used to see him on the SNL skit. I mean, it's just the oddest thing ever. We keep talking about how you have this rise to power, and it's a book and a plot that I couldn't even come up with. You're talking about a guy who was a chaplain that is now basically the right-hand man at the top of an organization, one of 32 franchises. How does this happen?
Well, I guess God's more interested in guys running NFL teams than he is stopping the Rona.
Is that what it was, that Jack used to be praying and got his prayer answered?
I guess so. I guess so.
Dear Lord.
No, honestly, I don't get it. And there's people in New England who don't get it, that this guy has risen to power here. But let's not act like people can't use charm to fool you about their beliefs and get you to buy in. Because look how many millions of books Joel Osteen sold. Mm. Man, this guy's just Joel Osteen in an organization.
Now, Joel Osteen, somewhere told me he was actually out there part of the march. I'm just curious, was he there to partake in the march or just make sure people know ahead of time, pass out flyers that if this hurricane hits, you're not welcome at a spot?
Probably.
Is that what he was doing out there? Mm.
But
well, I just want to tell y'all, I support y'all, but if Cristobal comes here, don't come knocking on Lakewood's doors. I love
it. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad at all. That was pretty good. Oh, I mean, Easterby's the church lady from SNL.
Nice. Dana Carvey. That is awesome. But
I have nothing against, I'm not going to say that. I have a thing against a lot of religion, organized religion. I have nothing against Christianity. And I do go to a church occasionally that people would probably call a cult, but it's Christian. So
she said they'd probably, no, you can't just slide under the radar. No, they'll probably call it a cult. You got to explain that.
It's been called a cult, but it's more of a new age.
Are you a Scientology friend?
No, I'm not Scientology. Okay. I'm it's very new age.
Okay.
Inclusive, love everybody kind of thing, you know, the whole hippie bit sort of.
What's the religion base of it, that it's you believe in barbecue?
Of course.
And beer.
No, but it's a Christian religion, but they also encourage you to they welcome every other religion in.
Mm-hmm.
And they also encourage you to question everything. And even the bookstore there has stuff about who really wrote the Bible, and there's all kinds of cool books that question whether or not, you know, the question beliefs and study beliefs and where they came from, and comparing all kinds of things. They encourage you to do all that and come to your ideas as to what you think there is. And it's cool because it's more of the kind. And I've run the gamut on religion. I grew up Catholic. If you read any of my fiction, it's heavily influenced by
you're Triple Crown religious winner, huh?
Yeah, but was married into a Jewish family for 15 years. I have cousins who are Muslims. I'm pretty much the first wife was hardcore Southern Baptist. That was interesting. So I kind of feel like I've run the gamut on religion. I'm not really a big religious guy.
It sounds like,
but I am I'm a spiritual guy. How's that?
It sounds like your new church communion is beer and brisket. It's like, come here, take a sip of the beer, Fred, and for the flesh, we've got the brisket. Is that how they won you over?
No. It just won me over because it was stuff like meditation and self-reflection and not do this or you're going to hell. That's what won me over.
Okay. I got you.
And 2-8-1 says, who really wrote the Bible? There's like 500 studies on that, by the way. There's a book that I read that kind of thinks there were three actual writers.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is there's so much translation from the original. A lot of times some of the priests who were translating just kind of put their own stuff in there.
Yeah.
Because you'll read some stuff to say, wait a minute, that seems like it's out of left field. And some of it's a translation and some of it is that they believe that a lot of it was altered along the way. So it's hard to say who really wrote it.
See, I'm a Christian, but I can get in debate and have conversation. You know how people always say, you can't talk politics and religion. I'm the complete opposite of that. I love hearing other people's thoughts on it, and whether they're atheist, Muslim, Christian, whatever it may be, I want to have that conversation. I'm not one of those people that get offended easily, so I like hearing the naysayers and going back and forth, as long as emotions are out of it. I'm never one of those guys that just want to go and no, you got to believe this.
Well, that's the problem. You can't treat that the same way we do politicians and our sports teams. Mine's right and yours is wrong. I think this is one of the reasons why I like the place I go, is that if you talk to everybody, and when you say Christian, you could be talking about 20 different things.
Sure.
20 different beliefs, maybe more.
Especially now.
But when you sit down and have a really good conversation with somebody about what they believe and why.
Well, my type of Christian, I just watch Christian Bale movies. That's what I was, to clarify.
Okay. I wish I knew that chant for rise, rise, rise. But it is good to have those conversations with people who aren't okay. I'm right, you're wrong. It's like I want to learn about yours, mm-hmm. and I guess that's kind of where I mean, again, I'm old, but because I've been exposed to so much and I've seen that there's certain things there where there's commonality. Even between Muslims and Jews, there's some core beliefs that are the same thing.
Absolutely. Things. And at the core of all of it is love.
And, well, not all of them, no. It should be. But the reality is we all have a lot in common, that we could start there. And we could have some good conversations about it. And if we can do that, then maybe we can do it about our politicians. Maybe. But
I don't know. I mean, we might be able to get there with God. I don't know if we can do that with politicians, Fred.
Yeah.
They're a little bit too important.
Just looking for a little bit.
No. Just keep it to the lesser figures like God and religion. But politicians, those guys are too important.
But, I kind of gets back to what I was saying the other day. We've got to just start finding some common ground, man. And I think if you can have a good conversation like that with somebody where they're truly interested in what your beliefs are and you're truly interested in theirs.
It's amazing.
It is awesome. And that's why you always say, don't talk religion or politics at the bar. That was always a thing. But if you have a really, the best conversations that I have with people sometimes are about religion, and we talk about stuff like that. And I find out most people believe what they grew up with. That's almost a common thing. It's the same thing with politicians. And if we all just start having conversations about it as opposed to not, then maybe we can, actually find out that, hey, you know what? We have a lot of stuff that we both believe in. It's just kind of cool. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Jason Brad again. So. Are they having problems downtown now?
Looks to be that way.
Oh, no.
Over near GRB and Minute Maid, people have started to get agitated over stuff. Mm. And I saw another video on Twitter of a group going after, not physically going after, but trying to harass and tell police basically to F off. And so the entire squad just picked up and rolled out and walked away from them.
Guys, try to remember that police officers here are not the ones who did it, and they're all individuals. Judge them by their actions. That's depressing, man. I was hoping that wouldn't happen. Somebody asked me, am I going to be able to get home? That's a good question.
Yeah, according to Tyler, he sent out a tweet. It looks like they're about to lock down the Galleria because there's cops at every entrance.
Well, that last night when I left, it was like that, so I'm not going that way to get out of here tonight. And
what time did you leave last night?
Right after the, about 7:05.
Okay.
And I keep forgetting that the ramp to 59 North is closed. So I went down Alabama to the feeder for 610. Mm-hmm. And then I have to go back the other way to Chimney Rock and turn around because they've got the thing closed. But they had cops every 10 feet in the Galleria. Is there some kind of threat against the Galleria? Because
it was the same thing. I tweeted about it last night when I left at 9 o'clock. When I left, there was cops, like you said, all around, every spot around the Galleria, all the way around it. Couples were just circling around. And then I don't know if you noticed this, but a lot of them were in unmarked cars. And I'm talking about like personal cars, tinted out trucks, cars, vehicles, everything. So, they're out there.
I don't know why the Galleria.
I didn't either. I didn't understand. I didn't know if something
had
happened.
But if it's happening again here, then. Well, and I'll tell you how I get home, because I take 59 to 45 to Scott Street and then kind of take a U-turn.
Okay.
Back to my neighborhood. I'm worried. I think maybe 45 South is going to be a problem. So I might just, because I can also exit 288 and go through that way. But I don't have to go through downtown. I can go around it.
Yeah, luckily so I stay on the out limits. I mean, it's a hell of a commute, but I just hop on 610 to 45 right up to the Woodlands. But I like to stay away from everything.
Yeah, I mean, I like being in the middle of stuff most of the time.
Yeah, not this.
No, this is this is not the best time. But you know what? I mean, need people out there, you know, using their voices and doing what they do. Just try not to blow stuff up. That's all.
Yeah, and a lot of these times we've seen people have been peaceful. And even if 80-90% of the protest is peaceful, if some people come in, maybe they're part of the protest and just are acting on their own will, or maybe there's somebody not even to do with the protest and they just want to get in, they want to just start the action. We've seen that happen in other cities as well.
Yeah, and, you know, somebody said maybe because they already broke into the gallery. I didn't see that. Did that happen?
Oh, did it?
I don't think that happened.
No, I don't think so. I think you're just speculating.
I feel like we would have saw that.
I've seen them breaking into other malls in other cities, but
And maybe they're just being proactive because it is a pretty high-profile place. But, yeah, it was they were clearly there to protect that. And I know there's a lot of construction going on, too, which I don't know if that impacts it. But they were clearly there to protect it. So
Tyler said West Alabama is closed down at Sage, so if you want to get to 69, you got to take Chimney Rock.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to do, was just take Chimney Rock and then get on there.
And they also said that it appears the Houston Chronicle reporting saying that appears police have barricaded McKinney and Walker to prevent a repeat of Friday's events. Protesters heading out to I-45 entrance. What happened on what was Friday's event that they're trying to prevent? Do y'all remember? I didn't hear anything that happened on Friday.
Might have been. I don't know if this is true. I'm just speculating. But maybe people climbing up on the freeway ramp.
Oh, is that what?
To try to disrupt okay. stuff.
Yeah, so I didn't hear anything, but they said they're doing this to prevent what happened on Friday.
Okay, so I'm going to have to stay away from 45.
Right?
Wow, and the other thing is, my other kind of back doorway is to go through Third Ward. But when I was driving through that last night, I saw a bunch of cop cars in the area there. So it might be an ordeal for me to get home, but hey, I'll figure it out.
Right.
I know some back roads. I mean, worst case scenario, there's a complete back way I can take.
Yeah. Jeff, the intern, says that people were getting on the highway on Fridays. So that's what they're trying to prevent now because people were just walking up freeway ramps.
Okay, that explains it. Yeah, that's not good. Don't need to do that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure trying to get on 45 south from 59 is a bad idea.
Tell me if I'm
if anybody's out there in that area, let me know if that's something I should avoid.
Fred, let me get your thoughts on this real quick. Tillman Fertitta saying, and here's the quote, "I love the protesting." And I think you understand why I'm asking you, with Tillman Fertitta saying that he loves the protesting.
No, go ahead. Ask me, because the people might not know why you're asking
me. All right. So let me lay it out. Tillman Fertitta, obviously, we all know about the blowback. One, Daryl Morey spoke out about the people in Hong Kong and the treatment, everything like that. Immediately, Tillman reeled that back in because it was going to affect his bottom line and his dollars and everything else because of the business tied to the NBA from China. But you have guys like even LeBron James, who's come out before and now even after talking about social injustices and everything else. But he called out Daryl Morey on talking about China and what was going on out there and everything. Well, the same people that bash the NFL for going after Colin Kaepernick, which I understand, but the same people that bashed him, well, you didn't stand up for him, you didn't do that. The reason they did that was because that was their Hong Kong. Colin Kaepernick, during all this, right or wrong, mostly wrong, was because the president went after the players, including Kaepernick, and all those SOBs that were kneeling and disrespecting the anthem, quote-unquote, all that the president had said at the time. What's the difference other than one is speaking up for a country that's, you know, that we don't live in? But they're both the same, right, in regards to that you're both worried about your bottom line instead of the injustices of the happening to the people.
Well, in the most basic sense, yeah, you're worried about your bottom line and you're worried about losing money. But to me, it's not really the same thing. What you should have used the whole China thing is a lesson that we're lucky we have the freedoms in this country, that Colin Kaepernick can do what he did, that people can be out protesting, that they can do these things, because what happens in China, guess what? They shut it down. You don't have those rights. And, you know, when Morey did that, now they have the power to say, all right, those billions of dollars we were pumping into your league, sorry, gone. And here it's individuals making those decisions. I might decide my company doesn't want to support you anymore, and that's fine. But we should fix ourselves first before we start pointing fingers at what other countries are doing anyway. And if we do that, then we have the right to go and say, maybe you support Hong Kong. But, to me, the only similarity is, it does impact the bottom line. But I feel like what we have going on in our own country is what we should be focused on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that there's not injustices elsewhere.
Well, my point is, it's just interesting that the blowback was so big on the NFL owners that didn't step up for the players when the president called them out, because they were worried about people like Papa John's and all the sponsors and everything going out and the viewership being down. It was blamed on the protesters and everything else. And then you have Tillman, an owner, that when his GM speaks out about injustices happen to people in Hong Kong and everything, even though it's not in our country, his response is predicated on him losing the same type of money that these NFL teams would have lost.
I think it's different, though, because the NBA is a much more
international league.
No, let's be honest. It's a much more liberal league than the NFL is.
That's fair.
And I think they're much more aware of social issues and willing to comment on social issues. Guys like Mark Cuban and Tillman Fertitta are not old men. They're not old. They're not late Ralph Wilson guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference, if you ask me. 4-9 said, moved to Texas 6 years ago, found the Blitz, been listening since, discovered late hits a couple months ago. Thank you both for what you do. Make my nights better. Work at work hauling fuel.
Oh, that's awesome, man. We appreciate that.
We got a lot of, tell you what, man, we appreciate all of our truckers and delivery drivers. Absolutely. And everybody who's stuck in the car and listening to us. We appreciate you getting, we try to get you to 7 o'clock every day. And thanks so much for listening, every one of you. Let's take a quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz.
Hey guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's the last segment already. Interesting. So it looks like it's getting pretty crazy downtown. I don't know that there's... I don't. It's just tons of people down there. It's hot. Got to be careful, I guess. I'm looking at how I'm going to get home, though.
Yeah, everybody be safe out there. And don't make a decision that's going to... I know the emotions are ramped high. And don't make a decision now that's going to affect the rest of your life. Just one thrown punch, one cracked window, and... you're separated from the movement. You're now in the system. When you, in a time where people are losing jobs, it's going to become harder for you to even find a job. I think you'll find, especially in Houston, more people on your side than what you would expect. This isn't a movement of black people. This is a movement in the, nation. And like I said earlier, it's always darkest before the dawn. I think a lot of good will come to this, but don't sacrifice your own personal well-being for you only get one life. You go out there and you get arrested, it's going to be harder for you to find a job, harder to feed your family. You don't need that. So just be smart, protest, and let's do it wisely.
And if you see somebody getting out of line, let the police know. Don't let people there's no reason to do damage to people's places of businesses and things like that. And if you see something, make sure somebody knows about it. And or the liberal NBA owners you speak of all shut their mouths when they were going to lose money because someone spoke out against human rights. Sounds pretty comparable to the NFL owners. Again, you can make that argument. You certainly can. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that I still don't necessarily equate them, but I can see why you would. All right, let's do a little thing. We finish up with a little thing we called "Hey Man, Bleep That," which is where we. Take something that pisses us off and we share it with the people. And mine today is LeBron James calls out the media for not showing positive images of nationwide protests. And guess what? I don't know that I've ever said this in my entire life. I agree with LeBron James. And it's not just about this. It's in the quest for ratings and page views and everything else. They're going to show the people getting tear gas. They're going to show the bad stuff. Well, yeah, I guess it's getting a little tense right now downtown, but all day long it's been peaceful. Well, you know, let's focus on both. And it's not just the protests. This hurricane, they're going to scare the hell out of you, whether it comes here or not. Sorry, tropical storm. Cristobal. They're going to scare the hell out of you. They're not going to talk about, oh, there's an 80% chance that it goes off to New Orleans. It's going to be, oh, it's tracking towards Houston. And why? So you'll watch and you'll care. Because guess what? If they come on and say, oh, doesn't look like it's going to hit, are you going to watch? Of course not. To that, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
Nice.
You got one?
Yeah, I got one. And it's going to touch a little bit on the same thing as yours, where you finished up at. It's this crystal ball, this tropical storm, this hurricane that's supposed to be, again, if you believe it, supposed to be headed towards Houston. 2020, come on. You killed one of the greatest basketball players of all time. We've had a global pandemic. Now we have protests, and then in other areas, riots, and now a tropical storm. It's the beginning of June. Everyone is saying, hey, man, bleep that as far as 2020. We haven't even made it halfway through the year. I started off with the pandemic saying that I felt like I was in a movie. The more 2020 goes on, the more this feels like the movie. Go cut on your news right now. You're watching a movie. You're living in a movie and everything that's going on. So all I want to say is to 2020.
Hey, man, f*** that.
Yeah, it's funny when Kobe Bryant was going to be story of the year.
Yeah.
He's not going to be top 10 when this is all
done. Not at all. Not at all.
Aaron, what do you got, bud?
So I don't know who is responsible for putting these pallets of bricks where protests are planned. Some people have said, you know, oh, well, maybe there's construction around the area. Maybe, but that's not likely. These pallets of bricks are getting dropped off in the middle of the night right before when protests are being planned the day before. For whoever's doing it, they need to go jump off the Transco Tower, which, yes, is the Williams Tower now. They need to jump off onto a bed of nails. And for any idiot out there who decides to pick one up and try to do damage, don't be a moron. If you really want to cause trouble, okay. But guess what? And I pointed this out on Friday here with you, Jason. You want to cause trouble in other cities, other states, fine. But this is Texas, and Texans carry guns.
I bought one this weekend.
You damage someone's property or threaten their family or their livelihood, they're not going to be too easy to just say, oh, man, I'm just going to keep moving on. No, they're going to pull that trigger. And it's not going to end well. And we don't need any more bloodshed from that. So for any idiot who out there puts bricks in the way for protesters to try to use, and for any idiot who thinks about trying to use them, hey, man, f*** that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how my wife, who abhors guns, hasn't been complaining too much about the fact that I have guns lately.
Right. It's crazy, though. I told you I bought a 9mm this weekend, and most of the bullets are in stock except 9mm. They're like, well, maybe we'll get a shipment on Monday, come back then. Then I went to another store. They're sold out. Went to another one. They're sold out. But they're only sold out the 9mm. I don't know if it's maybe the most popular.
Yeah, it's pretty popular. Okay. I also have a 22. No problem getting ammo for that. So, and, you know, that one's just that's just like a little snake bite because it's a 22.
Right.
It's not going to hurt anybody too bad. Unless, like, the mob used to use them for hits because you had to get right up in their head and then the bullet would bounce around in the head. Yeah. All right. On that cheerful note.
That's a beautiful memory.
Braddock, appreciate it, man. That was fun.
Oh, man. I appreciate the invite. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed listening to Jerry Bo the last couple of days, Jake last week, and I'll be checking out Jermaine Every tomorrow.
Jermaine and a special guest, possibly. Ooh. All right. Great job, Aaron. Great job, Braddock. Till tomorrow. Stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.